Welcome to The Frenzy.
I'm Melissa Carter.
And I'm Jen Hobby. The Frenzy's mission is to celebrate friendships over 40.
We believe that women can thrive through authentic relationships, self-discovery, and spiritual exploration.
Our decades-long friendship continues to grow because we are willing to go there and share our truths through life's highs and lows.
That's why The Frenzy is here, to hold space for women who are 40 and older, because at this age, your story matters more than ever. I'm Melissa, and I have sat, stepped on, and dropped things on my new kitten because I've never had a black cat before, and I cannot fucking see him. Pardon my language, but I, that poor thing. And he's, because his name is Shadow. And that's the reason is because he's my shadow. He's always on me. He's always behind me. He's always at my feet, which is so sweet. But I forget. And if I back up, go, you know, I literally dropped something on him out of the fridge the other day because he was there. Bless his heart. He's okay. He's not been injured.
Hasn't learned his lesson because he keeps following you.
He does. He's like a dog cat. It's so sweet.
Dog cat. I always wanted one of those.
Yeah, they do exist. They do exist.
I'm Jen Hobby, and at this age, I need readers to be able to see up close, and they're constantly getting tangled in my hair.
Now, do you
constantly
pay a lot of money for them? Are those? I mean, I see them in drugstores and stuff. Are they, you know, inexpensive?
The ones I'm wearing, I got at my hair salon, so they're like a tiny step up from the drugstore ones. You know, they're like $25 versus $5. Yeah. And they're cuter, but they still get caught in my hair because I refuse to put them on a chain. I'm not there yet, Melissa Carter. I cannot hang my readers on a chain around my neck. I know that at some point I will be there. Maybe when I have grandchildren, I will feel 100% confident to do that. But right now I still put them on and off, on and off, on and off. And when they go on my head, they rip my hair out. I'm going to be bald because of my readers.
So her email address is jen@thefrenzy.com for those who tell her either it's only a matter of time or have solutions for you. I mean, they should have solutions for you. I'm just fascinated by, see, I'm far, I'm nearsighted. So I can see near me. I can't see far away. So I do. I can read, but I can't read the street signs while I'm driving. Mine are on it. That's why I don't, but we'll talk about this in future episodes because I'm about to get plain glasses for all the time and on our YouTube channel because my dark circles are just a problem. They're not an indicator. I'm not sick. They're inherited. I've had them since I was 7 and I truly want to know if people treat me differently with glasses on, because I do think people know how to take me because I look sick. If you look on YouTube, I look like I got bags all the time. That's not bags. That's just the dark circles. And they have, you know, and so anyway, I'm going to try. Anyway, that's a different show.
I'm excited to see you in glasses all the time. I think that'd be cute.
It's very intelligent. You look very intelligent, Jen.
I do. I look smarter with my readers on. Well, I'm going to look balder too because I keep ripping my hair out.
tell her she looks smart, but don't talk about her hair.
Yeah, all right, please.
So coming up on today's episode, we're not going to talk about glasses or hair. We're talking about and exploring our intuition. We say trust your gut at the end of each show. So why is that so important? And what changes should we tune into during this time of life?
You'll meet India Lee, a spirit intuitive reader, clairvoyant, and coach. India will guide us through a discussion about conscious aging, and we just guarantee you are going to learn something about yourself during this episode.
Did you know that The Frenzy now has a private Facebook group, a safe community to celebrate friendships over 40 and make new friends too? You've told us that one of the biggest problems you have in this time of life is making new friends, so we're here to help. But the only way that you are going to be able to sign up to this private Facebook page is to sign up for our email newsletter, and then we will get you that link to be a part of the group.
And a big shout out to our listeners who have already subscribed to our email list. Some new names include Holly Shute, Mandy McCoy, and Val Rogers. Thank you so much for signing up.
And if you enjoy this episode of The Frenzy, please share it with a friend. We would love for more women like you to find out about our show. So, Jen, we are going to deep dive into our intuition conversation here in just a minute. But first, let us thank our sponsors.
Just heard your friend, neighbor, or colleague has been diagnosed with cancer? Your first instinct is, what can I do? Kick It Pajamas is the answer. Kick It sells pajamas, gowns, and other accessories specifically designed for those going through cancer treatment. Go to kickitpajamas.com and use the code FRENZY to get 10% off. That's kickitpajamas.com, code FRENZY for 10% off. Give the gift of comfort and style. Kick It Pajamas. Let's kick cancer off the planet.
Hey, it's Melissa. My family has a history of vascular disease, so I make a point to get my vascular system checked through Lifeline screening each year. The health of your arteries is important, and it's critical to understand your risk of stroke and cardiovascular disease. With a simple preventative screening, I get peace of mind or early detection so that I can take action. Since 1993, Lifeline Screening's highly experienced staff has screened over 10 million people in order to bring awareness to potential health problems for follow-up with your physician. To find out more, go to lifelinescreening.com. That's lifelinescreening.com, and be sure to use the code FRIENDS. That's FRENZY without the Y, so that's FRIENDZ.
We are so excited to introduce you to today's guest, who's become a friend of ours, India Lee. India uses her gifts to help you clearly understand the messages being sent to you by your guides, as well as connect more deeply with your own divine inner guidance on a daily basis. Some of us call it spirit. Some of us call it God. Some of us just think of it as spirituality. India will also empower you in coming into more connection with your own divine energy and creative power, aligning your energy, thoughts, words, and actions with your greatest good and highest purpose. India Lee, welcome to the Frenzy.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We are super excited to introduce you to our audience because Melissa and I have already become friends with you, and you joined us at our Pink Moon Pajama Party, which was phenomenal and so much fun. But we really wanted our podcast audience to get to know you as well. India is a spirit intuitive. She is a clairvoyant and a coach, and she really helps you clearly understand the messages being sent to you. So we are going to dive deep into that today. And India recently published an article that is all about aging. And so we thought, you know what, we've got to talk about that, the power of aging consciously. So let's kick into that, because I think we all want to be aware of how do we age more consciously and beautifully.
Yeah. Well, there are several levels to that. So first of all, when we talk about aging, there is a distinct shift that happens in, you know, your mid 40s, your early 50s, and that we can all feel inside of ourselves, but it's also reflected in astrology. It's reflected in the kinds of messages you get from your guides, because that's really when we're literally shifting into a new gear. It's when our higher self is able to come in and say, hey, you've learned a lot. You've been on this human, you know, journey for several decades. You've learned quite a bit. You started to recognize the ways that your thoughts and your ego have come in to kind of run things. You've seen where that takes you. And now, are you ready to take things to the next level, to a higher self level? Are you ready to kind of be the 2.0 version of you? And when we're in our 40s and 50s, we're like, yes. And in the past, that was seen as some kind of crisis, midlife thing. And now we can understand that it's a very real gear shift into a higher reality, a higher version of ourselves. In astrology, it's a shift into your north node, which is your true direction of your soul. And it looks very different from where you've been in the past. So sometimes it can leave ourselves and others around us going, who are you? but if we just sort of be present with that and listen to that, it becomes very clear that we're who we've always been, but only in a new way and in a more fully realized way.
It's so comforting.
Yeah.
It is.
I want to talk about the article specifically, the ways you talk about aging consciously. But first, I want to just follow up with that in the fact that it's not a coincidence that at this age, you seek more purpose, that you mm-hmm. seek mm-hmm. more understanding, that, you know, a lot of people who listen to the Frenzy are here because they want some kind of, you know, guidance in how they can tap into you mentioned higher self. I don't know if a lot of women understand that there is a part of them that is secure, that is mm-hmm. giving, that is knowledgeable, that is powerful. And that's what they're trying to tap into. So it's not a coincidence when you say that. It makes total sense because, you know, Jen and I off air have talked, and we on air have talked about seeking purpose in life from this point forward.
Right. It's not a coincidence. Has nothing to do with hormones. Has nothing to do with, you know, having an identity crisis because your kids are grown or because they're not grown or whatever it is. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with your inner guidance system coming in and going, oh, good, you now can hear me louder than ever. Because the real distinction that you notice at this age is that you're no longer listening to and obeying the voice of the ego, the voice of the outside world. This is the age at which we go, oh, you know what? I don't care what others think as much. I don't even hold myself to the same standards as I used to. So I'm free to be able to actually be and do the things that my true soul is asking me to do. It still takes a lot of courage because those things that our soul, our higher selves are asking us to do are big things sometimes, and they're real departures from what we've done. But then when you do those and you take those steps onto that path, you find that you're so supported. You find that all of this, when the miracles can happen, that's when things can come in, because you're actually literally tuning into a new frequency. You're tuning into a higher frequency. So just like with radio, if you were to go on a dial and listen to one station, you would hear one set of instructions or things that you're projecting or reflecting. And then you tune around and you listen to another station that's maybe harder to get, but you can hear it because you've gotten to this place on your path. And that gives you a whole different set of reality and instructions and guidance. So it's really just what you're listening to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Okay, so India, I want to break this down. You've got four keys to aging more deliberately, consciously, and beautifully. Let's talk first about number one, where you say, listen to and trust your body. It knows the way. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So for years, especially in your 20s, well, starting in the teen years, and then your 20s, your 30s, we are really fighting our bodies into submission. We're really looking at our bodies as sort of an opponent. We're like, oh, you're going to do this. I'm going to do this. You're going to do this. I'm going to do this. And we're like, well, I'm going to make you do things according to how I want it done. That's how some things that affect younger women specifically, like eating disorders, things like that can happen because you're literally fighting your body. That's why some of us have dealt with huge health things. Like I know I had chronic migraines and stomach things. That was all my body telling me things, but I was like, oh no, we're going to override this. We're going to push through this. And we kind of look at ourselves going, oh, look how tough I am, you know, pushing through this. This is what I have to deal with. I'm going to conquer it. But then when you get into your 40s and 50s and beyond, and especially beyond, if you're aging consciously, when you're a 70-year-old, you're a master at this, listening to your body, really paying attention to what is it telling me. So for example, if I was to listen to those headaches, I would hear literally, oh, that's my mind fighting what's going on. My mind is literally hurting itself because it's trying to think too hard. It's trying to try too hard. It's trying to do too much. You know, the stomach thing, what am I asking myself to take in, but I can't quite digest it. I can't quite handle it. If I had been listening to that, I would have learned those things rather than pushing through it and conquering it and getting kind of numb over time. So now when things happen at this more advanced age, you can say, all right, well, I don't have to just accept that, you know, age means my body's going to hurt, that age means I'm going to get sick. If I was to listen to this and ask my body, what are you showing me? What would it be telling me? So if it's something having to do with the nervous system, you know, and you're developing this thing having to do with the nervous system, you can say, oh, this has to do with the way my body's trying to communicate to me. How could I be listening to that? How could I form a better connection between my body and my heart? How can I listen more? And it works that way with almost everything. Louise Hay writes about that in a really wonderful way. Also, I will say Deepak Chopra, he wrote a wonderful book years ago called Ageless Body, Timeless Mind. And that's really good about breaking you out of that mindset of feeling like you're in an aging body, therefore you have to age. It really gets you more in soul control, being able to say, no, I'm a timeless soul and my body is basically listening to what my mind is telling it. So how can I make that work for me?
So good. Oh my gosh. I'm like, we can just park right there. Okay.
Yes. Well, I mean, the soul control, the fact that you mentioned when you're 70, that you'll be a master at this again, is how, what we try to communicate, that as you get older, you are better at something. You're not losing out on something. And so many women think that, oh, I'm a has-been. I'm not valuable anymore after a certain age. And it's like, no, if you really understand yourself, you have something to look forward to. Like a 70-year-old has everything on me as a 50-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's a wonderful thing to know that I'm going to achieve.
You can look at it as two different journeys. You could say, okay, for the first 40 years or so of my life, I was on an ego journey. There's nothing wrong with that. We kind of say that, you know, sometimes it's like, ooh, an ego journey is bad. No, it was necessary. I needed to be a fully human being to learn those things and learn those lessons and take that as far as it could take me. Now I'm starting the second half of my journey, starting in the 40s, mid 40s, 50s, as a spiritual being who's still living in human form, but I'm a more spiritual being than I am a human being. And that can be exciting because you could say, oh, I'm just a kid as far as being a spiritual being is. I'm a kid. By the time I get to be 60, 70, I'm going to be, Lord knows what I'm going to be able to do. It's going to be exciting. So really feeling that, being like, I am a beginner at this type of life. And then you can really view it as this is truly exciting. Let's see where this takes me. And also it has the kind of growing pains that we have earlier in life. So if you're in the teen years of being a spiritual being, you're going to have some awkwardness and some things you're kind of, you know, working with and learning about. But yeah, by the time we get a little bit older, it's going to be really good. And that is fun to think about.
Am I going to have pimples? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
So India, in this shift of becoming a more spiritual being and being aware of that, is that why shifts in friendships happen at this time? You start attracting different people into your life and letting go of others.
Yeah. Again, taking that metaphor of the teenage years, you know, when you went to high school, it was like you kind of had to say goodbye to your elementary school friends and make new friends. So as we're making that shift, we all make it at different times. We all make it in different paces. And so if you've been friends with someone in the sort of human ego sense for a while, and now you're shifting, doesn't mean that they're not shifting, but they could be shifting at a different pace. You could be helping to activate them shifting to bring them into awareness. So you view yourself as a candle. Maybe you're being used to light their candle. You know, maybe they're like, not yet for me. Thank you. You know, because everyone's on their own journey and has their own free will. So the important thing is to, and this is so hard for us as humans because we do attach and we attach and we say, oh, we're supposed to be lifelong. This could be a partner. This could be a friendship. You know, it could be whatever. But there does come a point when you're making these shifts where you have to say, I'm now at a different frequency. I'm at a different vibration. It's not better or worse. It's just different. And if you are at that vibration, great. You can kind of shift with me. If you're not, I'm going to attract in new people. But it's important to honor and release those relationships that aren't coming with you. And one thing I always guide in the readings that the guides always send through is, connect with that person. If you're saying goodbye to them, you know, in a human sense, even if you're not saying it, connect with them on a higher self level, you know, honor what the contract with the relationship has been and how it served you. And then say, I'm letting this go now. If it shifts up, if you shift up, shift with me, great. If you don't, I understand, but I'm honoring this.
Wow. All right. So India, you know, mentioning that you had you wrote an article about aging consciously. We're going to have a link for you for that entire article. But number two on this list is be aware of what your mind is telling your body. So explain that.
Mm-hmm. So just as important as listening to your body, it's important to be mindful. What am I telling my body with my thoughts? Because your body is a living barometer and gauge of what you're thinking all the time. So you can test this. If you want to take a week and feed yourself nothing but, you know, guided meditations and relaxed thoughts, and every time you head into an old thought pattern, go, nope, I'm not doing that for just this week, just to test it out. You will notice at the end of that week, physical shifts. It probably won't even take that long. Physical shifts. You'll notice your body, your muscles feeling more relaxed. You'll notice things that you've always dealt with shifting a little bit, because your body is just sending you signals that say, hey, this is what the mind's telling me. The mind's telling me something's wrong. So if your thoughts are like, for example, if you're always taking in a lot of news or talking about what's wrong or focusing on the problems, what things we all tend to do, your body is hearing all that. And your body is saying, uh-oh, something's wrong. What is it? This is why you see even little kids, you know, get stomach aches and things that around stress. That's not because they're carrying so much stress. It's because everything that's being fed into their little brains is going to their bodies, and their bodies are saying something's wrong. So think of it as kind of an alarm system, and your mind is up there in the control tower, and it's either saying everything's good, we're receiving more and more good stuff, and then your body's like, phew, excellent, okay, I can keep doing my thing. Or that control tower is saying, mayday, there's a problem, something's coming in, something's about to come, and your body's going to be on guard, and your body's going to look for things that the mind wants it to do, or it thinks the mind wants it to do, to protect against, to head that off, or to distract from it. That's why sometimes if something really is going on in our lives, our bodies will almost throw a big detour in there and say, oh, no, we're going to do this. You have to look at this. It's sort of, it's the body thinking it's helping by saying, maybe I can get you out of this situation by putting you in bed or whatever it is. So it's really important to program and be very conscious of what am I using my mind to tell my body. So everyone always says mind, body, spirit, and it's important to have a mind, body, spirit connection, but it's actually the most important to have a spirit, body, mind connection. So sort of reverse that train, put spirit up front, put body second, body listening to spirit messages, body listening to spirit guidance, and then mind is going to come last, and you're going to notice that your mind is more peaceful, that your thoughts are more cooperative. It takes a while, but that those ego thoughts and alarm kind of messages are going to turn down.
So I don't think people understand the mind-body connection. Because I think for a lot of women, they assume that the emotions are a warning system rather than the emotions being attached to what they're thinking. At least for me, when I realize that if I feel a certain way, it's because my thoughts are triggering those emotions, not because I have some instinct or intuition that's telling me I should not do something. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes. It can be so hard to tell the difference, especially for women when we're like, I have women's intuition, I need to listen to that. But we also have women's anxiety and women's, you know, conditioning and programming. So it's very hard to tell the difference between what is anxiety, what is a thought that says something's wrong, and intuition. And that's actually one of the most common questions I get, because people will say, I just have a really bad feeling about this, and I just don't know what to do about that. And what is it telling me? And the way you can tell the difference is simple.
Okay.
Intuition, your guidance, feels good. Even if it's scary, even if it's something that where you're being guided to do something that is scary. You know that feeling when you have to quit a job or you have to do something big. And even though it's huge and scary, you feel this calm inside you. That's how you can know it's guidance. That calm is spirit or your higher self or however you connect, telling you this is guidance. If you feel it as agitation or fear or anxiety, you know it's the mind, and you have a minute to step back and go, okay, I have this urgent feeling telling me this. Let's feel into it. Is it true? And that's when you can start really questioning the thoughts and then separating them out from guidance.
I think that that is great advice. What she was talking about is intuition versus, you know, just having a bad feeling and it's something in your mind. Because I was saying that a lot of people don't understand, especially women, that a feeling is not necessarily legitimate in an intuition, right? It's because you're thinking negatively and not realizing that. And thoughts create emotion. It's not the opposite for a lot of people. So like you said, you know, to feel intuition, I'm thinking in the past of things that I've had an intuition about. And you're right. It's not this, I can't breathe and I've got tightness in my chest. It's more of this broad, like, wisdom of, oh yeah, something, I need to pay attention to this.
And that can feel scary too, but it feels scary in a way that you know you're supported and you know it's right. So just like we were saying, if it's like, I need to quit this job, your mind may be like, that is scary and I don't know what I'm going to do. But you have that knowing of, but it's going to be okay, and I have to do this. That's where you know it's guidance. A panic attack or an anxiety attack is a perfect example of what you're talking about. And, you know, I will still get those at times where at night, you know, my body's still doing its thing. But it really helps to go, okay, my body's doing something it's been conditioned to do over time. It's been conditioned to pull these alarms and say, oh no, everything's wrong. And start flipping that into, okay, this is an opportunity to feel into, why am I feeling unsettled? What are my thoughts telling me? Where have I been sort of not paying attention to what my mind is telling me or what's getting in? And it's an opportunity to bring more awareness to that. It's not that you ever get to a place where you're like, oh, I'm serene all the time and I never have anxiety. And it's that you get to a place where you can discern the difference and you can say, you know what I know? I know that guidance, that my inner knowing never comes to me like this. If I feel like I'm literally dying, then, you know, I'm probably not. And this is my brain doing something. Because even those times where your body is in distress, you still have that knowing. Like if you need to go to the emergency room, you know it. You're not laying there in bed going, is this, isn't it? Da, da, da. Generally, you know. You know when it's deeper.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, the people who are Zen all the time are living in a mountain by themselves.
Oh yeah. There's that's a reason the only way. For that. That's the only way. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that when you feel it intuitively, it doesn't go away. Right. Like, so you'll have this feeling about maybe it's a situation or a person or a change you want to make or something in your life. And you think, well, maybe that's just a weird thought. And you sort of ignore it and move on the next day. And it comes up again. Right. To me, you can count on your intuition to keep repeating itself gradually over and over again. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
That is. And when you have repeating things, that can be one of two things. So if it comes up again and again, it keeps showing itself. Like, let's just go back to the job thing. So you're like, I don't love this job. And I really feel like I'm. If you keep seeing things like, here's an opportunity, here's a new thing, here's something, and it keeps on showing up, you know, okay, this is letting me know I need to head in that direction. However, if something keeps popping up that's a repeating cycle, and again, you can go back to, does this feel good? It's a repeating cycle that just doesn't feel good. It feels like danger in your body. It feels like, why does this keep happening? That's when you know that this is being brought in again and again because you're in a cycle. You're in a cycle that you're being invited to learn about, understand, and close out. So this can happen with relationships. You know, we're fine, and then all of a sudden we're here again. We're fine, and then all of a sudden we're here again, and it can feel really bad. That's an invitation to look at what is this showing me within myself that I'm repeating and that I would probably attract in with another person if this person wasn't here. What is this showing me is one thing to look at when something's repeating. But if intuition is repeating, if the guidance is repeating, you'll be like, it'll be kind of like what you just said. I just can't get away from this. It's like, I just see this everywhere I go. That's your guides and your higher self saying, hey, time to move into this.
Well, and you know, I think that, and I lost my thought. Hold on a second. I had a brilliant thought on something you just said. And well, I so lost the
quickest,
it.
That's okay. The quickest way to ask, what is the next thing for me? Let's say you're in a place, you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know what my guidance is sending me into. What is it? I just feel like I'm in a stalemate. If you just start asking the question, what are the next highest reality, highest self steps for me? And it even helps to write it down. I really like to write questions like this down. Say, what are the next steps for me? What is the very next step for me? And then just let it go. Don't let your mind ruminate it on anymore. Don't let yourself fixate on anymore. Just know you put it out there and then start paying attention to the signs. Then start paying attention to what you're seeing again and again. And then you'll see it. You'll know how it resonates. Because if you're like, let's say you start seeing pregnant people everywhere and you're like, what? Why another pregnant person? Why do I need to see that? Start asking yourself, is this the direction? Is it about, you know, having a child? And you'll know by how it resonates. You can notice if your ego is like, no, anything but that, no, turn the other way. You might want to feel into it a little more because ego resistance is also a sign that we're being led. So the way you know the difference is, this is a really quick way. If it feels like what you've always done, it's ego. If it feels new and different and exciting, but also like, I don't know if I could do that, but you're being called forward it. It's your higher self.
And the beauty of being older is the fact that you can recognize the cycles, right? Yes. That is something that your 40s and 50s can do for you that your 20s couldn't do. So just remember another great thing about being older. Aging consciously, number three, you say discover a new version of yourself every day.
Mm-hmm. So you know, we look at aging and a lot of people look at it as let's take the best version of ourselves and freeze it in time and stay there. And let's never leave that because that worked. So if I looked my best when I was 35, let's just try to keep it there or as close as possible.
I'm safe.
Exactly. Yes. And people will even say that I'm 29 and holding.
Right.
You know, how many times do you hear that about age, right? You know, I'm 39 forever or whatever. It's like, no, you're not.
No.
And like we were talking, I mean, it can start to be a little disconcerting. If you look at yourself, you know, everyone who's tried to do that, and self included, can look at themselves at some point and go, it's not working anymore. It's not working anymore because it's changing. And so if you're fighting the change, if you're fighting it rather than flowing with it, you know that you kind of need to course correct a little bit, because aging consciously is about letting your true self be revealed. So, you know, those people who, you know, that you look at them and they're older and they look older, but they somehow are more beautiful than they were when they were younger. There are a lot of actresses like this, where it's like the older they get, the more gorgeous they are. What is that? And it's really that coming into their true selves and allowing the changes to happen, allowing it all to happen in a way where it's not like just, I guess I just don't care anymore, but where it's like, oh, this is beautiful. I'm going to work with it. How can I enhance this? How can I, just like you did from the teen years coming into your adulthood, you learned what worked for you. You learned what didn't. You learned that maybe you can't have the Jennifer Aniston haircut, but this other haircut works for you. Like, that's what I learned. And like, you just sort of flowed with it. And that's what we're invited to do all over again. But it's, again, not going to feel like it did before.
And that's a good thing, right? Discovering that. Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking about changing and discovering a new version of yourself every day, which pursuits are the ones to go down? You know, because I think at this age, we've discovered we like a lot of things or may have passions about a lot of different things. Melissa and I talk about that. Like, she's so creative. She's got a lot of different creative outlets. She can, you know, follow the leader there. How do you know which one to follow?
Well, you can go ahead and follow them all, but it won't take you very long to notice which ones feel really good and which ones don't. So as you're looking at all those things, look at them and again, write it down. Okay, which step are you guiding me to move forward next on this path of creativity? And then just watch for the signs, watch for what feels good. Do exactly what you would do for a little child. And that leads us into number four, which is be a kid and be the guardian that you want that kid to have. So look at yourself as a little child, look at that child essence of you and say, what do you want to do? What do you have the most fun doing? And then that child might be like, well, I want to do this, but I feel like it's too messy or expensive or whatever it is. You say to that child, whatever you'd say to a real child, say, go ahead and do it. We'll figure it out. Go ahead and do it. We'll see where it goes. And then just allow that, because what we tend to do is we tend to look at that little child inside us and parent them, not in the way we would want to be parented, but in the way that we kind of saw and thought, well, this is what you're supposed to do, or this is what adults did. You know, whatever you saw modeled is what you're going to impose on yourself. So if you start stepping back from that, and the limiting part about that is most of us only saw one or two, you know, options. So as kids, you saw these two parents ideally, and you were like, okay, I got this or I get this. And then you grow up and you're like, you find yourself, if you look at this age, you go, oh, I chose that one, obviously. You only chose between the two.
Right,
and
right.
Stepping back and going, this is where we really get into inner child healing work, but stepping back and going, there's a million more options. And what do I want to choose? I don't have to choose just between these two that I thought I did as a little child.
Well, it's funny you say that. A couple things, like I definitely chose one. And then as an adult, I was so adverse to the other that I'm like, well, let me open up a little bit and look at that parent as a friend rather than as a parent. You know, Jen has said this before too, is like, you get that opportunity as adult with adult children that you can be friends and get to know each other different than mother and child. But also, you know, the opportunity I've taken and the beauty I think of being an older mother is the fact that I've taken the opportunity with my son who is six to watch how I parent him and try to parent myself the same way. So when he's excited about something, he knows he's interested in something, and I try to help him pursue that. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, at seven, what was I into? Did I deny myself anything? Did my parents deny, you know, for not to be mean, but just because, you know, it's probably too expensive or too inconvenient. But, you know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's older, who we had this conversation about my son. And she was like, you know what, when I was young, I wanted to do this. My parents wouldn't let me. And I regret it to this day. And she's in her 70s. So going back to what you said, I mean, you give yourself the freedom to not forget that that child in you still exists and still wants to do something. And this is a great time to be able to unleash them.
To realize that you're the one in, you're the one in charge now. You get to say how it goes. And the hard part of that is that we all find that we have this ego voice inside of us that is conditioned with parents, grandparents going way, way back. And then everything we've learned in the ego journey, it's just conditioned. It's a tape that plays. So when we're looking at ourselves as that child and saying, well, I want to do this. And we're like, yeah, I should do that. We don't even realize that we have that tape playing of like, but this. But don't forget that. But you better this. But don't that.
And but I want to be safe, India. I want to be safe.
Right.
That's and usually so, what it's about, right? Is I just want to be, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I want to be safe.
Exactly.
Yes. That's not okay. Fun. Personal question for each one of you. What did you, India, you first, what did you want to do when you were seven?
I wanted to teach. I wanted to be a teacher. I thought that would be just the biggest fun to be able to tell everyone else everything. And
what age did you want to teach?
I wanted to teach other kids. But then what's funny is when I got out of college and I did end up getting a teaching certificate, I spent 1.5 days in the classroom. And then I walked out saying, this is not correct for me. And then I walked out and did writing for a couple of decades. And but what's funny is it circled back around. And what I'm doing now through sessions and things is essentially teaching. And so I realized that the other day, and I was like, oh, I guess Little India was onto something, but it wasn't teaching in the human way that people think of teaching in a classroom. It was teaching in a different way. So that's so wild that she knew something I didn't know. But she was like, when I was in the student teaching classroom, that little higher self was like, oh, not no, she doesn't get it. Not this way. Not this way. We'll take 20 years and then learn.
But I absolutely believe that children are tapped in to themselves better than adults are.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you pay attention to that. I had imaginary friends, not just one in my mind. Like, but I knew that I was creating them, right? So I created this whole neighborhood, and I drew the caricatures out and cut them out. And my mother allowed me to stick them on the wall, and they were all, here's all my friends. And I have a names, and we would play, you know, baseball together in the backyard and in my mind. So I created these characters. And I guess what did I want to be when I was seven? Well, I think I just want to be artistic. I did.
And now you're coming back around to that. Yeah. And you're saying, oh, that's so amazing.
That is so cool.
And it never left. And in the pandemic, and we've shared this on the air before, and during the pandemic, one of the things I did every day and promised myself to do to get me out of that funk was to do art. And I did it every day. And so it 52 didn't leave me.
Wow.
That is so cool. When I was seven, I loved art classes, specifically painting. I really loved painting and sculpture. And my parents put me in, you know, additional classes. I remember going to this art teacher's house, and she would do it in the neighborhood in her garage. Mm-hmm. She had set up her whole garage to teach kids extra art lessons. And that was my favorite. And we would listen to music and create, you know, clay sculptures and put them in her kiln and, you know, create really cool paintings. My mom still has a painting I made back then of Pete's Dragon. Do you remember that movie from when we were little?
Yes.
I must have been. I don't know why I was really into Pete's Dragon.
Oh, I love it.
But I find with my kids, I really enjoy playing in. We have like this extra little laundry room in our house that is not a laundry room. We turned it into an art room. And I find that I just enjoy going in there with my kids and painting and playing and coloring and all that kind of stuff. That's what makes me feel most like a kid. And then I think as it transitions to adulthood, I love to cook. And I think that's kind of an artistic pursuit as well. sort of a more adult one.
And something that's so important that you just hit on is we are able to give away the thing we need the most. So when you look at what do I give to other people? So you're saying, I love to help my kids with creative things. I love to do this. That's what you need the most. That's what your little child is in there needing. So what if we look at whatever we're giving, that's what we need.
As you said that, I was like, I never thought of it that way, but I give my son unconditional support.
Right. Yeah. Right. And let me say, the reason that we give away what we need is that the ego is in there. And this is really sad because it's just what our own minds and egos do to ourselves. But our ego is in there constantly saying, but you can't have that. Everybody else can have that, but you can't. And that's where we start noticing the cycles coming up where we're like, why is this cycle always coming in where I don't get that, but everybody else does? That's there to show us how we're telling ourselves that story and that it's time to change that. It's time to say, I give unconditional love to everyone and my child, and I get that too now. You know, my little child gets that too, and I'm here to make sure that happens. And it's really hard because we have to literally choose that higher voice over the ego voice, which at this point has gotten so loud and so confirmed and so strong, and we have to choose another voice.
Oh, but what freedom that would give you if you were able to do that, right?
Yeah, and that's the beauty with those of us who have kids, those kids lead the way. So you can see how you give him unconditional love. You want him to have that. And that sort of gives you the strength to give yourself that, because we cannot give what we're not giving ourselves. We just can't. But, you know, that's just been proven with past generations. They might want to give you something better than what they had, but they can't because they weren't able to give it to themselves. But you did get a little step up because you got the awareness. So now you can give it to your child. You can have it. And then, you know, our children don't have to take on that burden of I can give it, but I can't have it.
That's really powerful.
Wow.
India, I want to ask you about spiritual exploration, because Melissa and I say really in the mission of the Frenzy podcast is that we believe women can thrive through authentic relationships and self-discovery and spiritual exploration. So why is it at this age we want to explore spiritually? And what would be your advice on where to begin?
Okay. Well, it is for the reasons of that soul path becoming more important. This is just the perfect time to start listening to your higher self guidance, to start listening to your soul path guidance and start understanding it. It just serves you. Yes, it requires a lot of expansion. It requires a lot of change, but it comes with so many rewards. And so, like Melissa just said, so much freedom, so many gifts that it's worth it. The place to start is just to start saying, like we've talked about, what are the cycles that I've already experienced showing me? And you can start that by saying, if it's relationships, you can say, what is the common thread? What does it feel like these people always sort of did to me? And then you can, or jobs or whatever it is. And then you can turn that around and say, I did that to me. And why did I do that to me? And where did I learn to do that to me? And use these other situations to reflect it. So that starts bringing some awareness. Then just start, you know, you can start working with your higher self and your guides. If you just want to focus in on your higher self, that's fine. And start asking for signs. This is literally, like Melissa said in the beginning, a more tuned in version of you, a higher version of you. And you can ask that version of you for guidance. You will get proof that that's happening. So go into prayer, go into meditation, go into however you connect and say, higher version of me, will you please send me a sign that you're with me, first of all, that you're guiding me? Or if you want to get broader and say guides, angels, the divine, send me a sign. And then just open, let it be open. Let yourself see whatever's coming in. I always like to say, please help me to see it. Please help me to recognize it. And then just start following that. And you can do it in tiny ways. Follow it in tiny ways. Just start saying yes to things you would normally say no to. Start changing that flow a little bit, and you'll notice all this confirmation that comes in, all this help coaxing you along the way. Your guides will just be throwing you a party going, oh, they're doing it. They're doing it. And then if you need or want, you know, help hearing what your guides are saying, you know, I'm there to help you with that. And there are others who are there to help you with that. But ultimately, we all have our own inner guidance system. We're all able to hear these things. It just takes practice.
Mm. I love it. Well, like I said, we're going to have India's article. We're going to have a link to India's article, and you can read that as well as some of the other books that you mentioned and people you mentioned. I can't let you go, though, without doing the Frenzy Five. So, India, are you ready to be on the hot seat?
Yes.
The expression on your face, if you're on YouTube, I couldn't tell whether that was fear or whether that was excitement or a combination, but I'm just kidding. All right. All right. Here we go, India. Where is your cozy happy place?
Physically, I wouldn't say I have one, but that's pretty typical. I'm an air sign, so everything's up here. But mentally, I just close my eyes and I go to the place that I grew up, which was Colorado, and I have that really crisp air feeling and that breeze and just that sort of snowy feeling, and it was just magical. So I go there mentally wherever I am.
Oh, I love that. What's your favorite framed thing in your home?
Oh, picture of my little boy.
Yay. Little Pisces, love it.
Little Pisces, little leader for me, little soul guide, yes.
What's your most memorable birthday?
Ooh, I'd say it's his.
That's a great answer.
I'm one of those later in life parents, so everything's kind of, you know, that really, it's very pronounced when you wait until 41 to have a child. It's just a whole different experience.
Oh, I love that. All right. What's a daily routine or ritual that you stick to?
Definitely asking those guides to come in, because, you know, I'm a person and I have like a lot of people issues myself, and I wake up and of course my mind wants to take over. So the very first thing I do first thing in the morning is I say, I don't know, because I don't know, just kind of clears the mind. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what's going on. Please show me. I'm ready for that. And thank you. And I just sort of start every day with those 10 words. Mm-hmm.
So good.
And what is the fashion trend that you jumped on? Doesn't matter what age. Oh, what's the first thing? What made you laugh?
Stirrup pants.
Stirrup pants. So good.
I was wondering the other day why, of all the things that have come back, why aren't we doing stirrup pants again? What's wrong with stirrup pants? Where are they? Or did
they're
they
very
back
helpful.
And I just didn't know?
They tuck right into the boots very well. Yes. We need to bring back the stirrup
always
pants.
They're always in the right shape because they're stretched out.
Yes.
You never have to pull them down.
Genius.
Love it.
Genius. Well, India, this has been such an insightful conversation. Thank you so much. If any of our listeners want to reach out to you, they can find you through indialeigh.com. That's L-E-I-G-H. And also at India4777 on Instagram. I'm guessing people can direct message you.
Yes. They're welcome to. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. And talk about some of the things that you do when you sit down one-on-one with someone.
Okay. So we can sit down on Zoom and we can feel into the messages that you're getting. I just, you don't even have to tell me anything. I can do these recorded as well without you even being there, because it's about tapping into your energy, but I do enjoy sitting down with you. But I ask your guides what they would like you to know for your greatest good and highest purpose. And they just give me messages. They let me know what it is that you might be resisting or blocking, and their guidance to help you move through that to expand more.
Love it.
So awesome.
Thank you so much for your valuable time and wisdom. And
yes, this has been so awesome.
Thank you. I'm so grateful. It's been wonderful.
Is there a friend of yours who would enjoy this episode? We want you to share it with her. Now, on Apple Podcasts, where most of our listeners listen, let me not repeat a word. If you go to Apple Podcasts, this is what you do. Go to the Frenzy. All right. Then you look for the three dots at the top right corner. You click on those three dots, and then a drop-down menu will come down. You share episode. That's what you select, share episode, and then select the green messages option and text it to a friend. It's much easier when you do it than the way I made it just sound. But if you have any questions, Jen@thefrenzy.com, Melissa@thefrenzy.com. That's how you share the episode with somebody that you love. Hey, you know what? Let's grab a question out of the You Don't Know My Life box. All right. By the way, you can steal this for the dinner table or with friends. We have a listener who does it for icebreakers at work. So here we are. Psychic story. Go.
Ooh, Melissa, you got to go first.
I got to go first because I have a show and tell.
Yes.
Or you got to think of something. So I'm somebody that's always fascinated about what somebody may say to me. It's one of those things where I don't know if I am 100% in, but I'm always curious what they're going to say. So I've done like been drunk at bars with the psychic in the corner and gone to talk to them. I've been in the French Quarter, New Orleans, drunk usually, and go in and talk to them. But there was one time that I did a psychic reading where the person went into past lives. Okay. And talked about what I was in a past life and where I lived in a past life. And so anyway, there's a place in Great Britain called Avebury. I don't know how to pronounce it. A-V-E-B-U-R-Y. And apparently I was a priest. I was a male priest in this town. And so, again,
Avebury.
Yes. And I mean, and this was an extensive, like she sent me like the whole like pages worth and she typed it out for me and everything. And so I went online. I was like, does this still exist? Does this place still exist? And it does. So I got a patch from Avebury. Anyway.
Wow.
And so I don't
know.
Did
any of what she said resonate with you at all?
Not really.
It didn't feel familiar.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I got the patch. But I thought, you know what? If it is true, how cool is it that I would have a patch from a place that I used to live as a different person? I don't know. So that's
cool.
It's probably the most interesting psychic story.
Okay, I have two, and it's weird that you bring it up because I think I also have a show and tell, or I had one recently here on my desk. I do. It's right here. So I too have been to
Both of our objects were near our desk. See, it was meant to be.
I have been to New Orleans to get a reading and was there with a bunch of friends. And I just found this. It was tucked in the back of a book. So it must have been a book I was reading on that trip. It's called Bottom of the Cup Tea Room, which is where it was. And she recorded my psychic reading on a CD.
Wow.
And it was in 2012. And I haven't listened to it yet. Because I don't know where to play a CD. Because I don't have a computer that will play a CD.
Oh my God, it's old technology, right?
Right. But I mean, I could go grab some at somewhere, maybe at my radio station if I ever go back to work in person. But maybe I'll go grab some clips from this and see if any of it made sense or came true. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be so neat.
And it's so funny you asked that question because I just found this like 2 or 3 days ago.
See, now what would India say? Indy would say that
divine timing.
That's right. Divine timing.
That's what, exactly. That's totally what she would say. That is so cool.
Yes. Oh yeah. So I love psychic stories. And again, I'm always throwing the email address out. Melissa@thefrenzy.com, Jen@thefrenzy.com. If you've ever had something that was kind of bizarre that, you know, resonated with you, I think it would be neat. If you know, I don't know how that works, but I always thought how cool it would be. This is probably morbid, but you know, you're listening to this in the Halloween time, that you could visit your own grave.
Oh,
if you like, if somehow somebody knew exactly who you were, like this Avebury or wherever, like, I'd like to go visit my grave. I don't know.
That's gosh. Funny. Okay. Question for you.
Yes.
Do you believe that some people truly have a psychic ability?
I do, because I don't know how this world works. I think, though, the people that are troubled by it, I think for me, if they're troubled by it, or they're hesitant to make money off of it, or they're slow to, you know, like they reluctantly go into that life, because if you truly are psychic, you're getting things all the time. And so I think in the case of like an India or somebody else who have just realized, you know what, if I can help other people by doing this, that's, you know, if your calling is there, you know, I don't think everybody who says they are. Absolutely not. But I do think the people, you can tell there's a difference in them, you know, because it has to be a burden to me to have that ability.
To me, it's like another sense. Like we have our five senses and they have another one, right? That we just can't quite wrap our heads around, but that it's there. I have a good friend who is afraid of her intuition ability. And she even said that one time with a bunch of friends, like you, like drunk in New Orleans, like went to an old school psychic, and she sat down from the woman, and the woman goes, "Don't even play with me. I know you know more than I do."
Wow.
And she said it freaked her out. She threw her hands down on the desk and got up and walked out.
And that's what I'm saying is that
she's like, "Nope, I don't want to know."
If somebody truly has the ability, I do think it is something that freaks them out. And so, you know, again, either you run away from it or embrace it, but those are the people. Yeah. But I mean, I think everybody hopes it's real. I think everybody hopes that there's a way to somehow, I don't know. I think it's neat. I don't think it's scary. I think it's kind of cool to, you know, if you had insight into things in the future, I don't know, would you want them? And if so, would you make it fun or would it be scary? I don't know. There's some things I guess people don't want to know, but anyway, you know what we want to know? We want to know your story because we want to remind you that you need to share your story. Okay. Like we're talking, I mean, especially in this time, we got to get together and share our stories and open up with people that you trust so that we can start feeling better. And not only feeling better, but your story matters and you should tell it.
And you might just unlock someone else's psychic ability.
Absolutely.
Right? By sharing your story, they share theirs. You kind of open up. I'm open to the possibilities of all of it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Agreed. And now, Jen has this week's mirror mantra.
Okay, Melissa mentioned this in the beginning of today's episode about how at the end, we always say, trust your gut. You know, and I think that we've learned a lot from India about what your intuition is, what that feels like, what that sounds like. So this week's mirror mantra is, I will listen to my gut and follow what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that.
So it's one thing to listen to your gut, listen to your intuition, but it's another thing to follow what you hear. So look in the mirror and say that this week.
Because you know, in the past you've said, boy, I wish I heard, listened to my gut back then about him, about her, about all that. I wish I'd listened to it. Well, now you got to start doing it. Great job, Jen. And you know what? I want you to check out our Frenzy YouTube channel with videos and extended interviews, and especially this one, because we really have an entertaining moment that may not get on air. So go to the YouTube, go to the YouTubes, Cynicy. That sounds like an old lady. Go to YouTube and just
and the Facebook too.
And ask your old son or grandson if you can't understand how to work a computer.
Now you got Southern Belle. I love it.
Right. No, I sound too rich. I just hire my servant to do my computer for me. Anyway, just search for the Frenzy on YouTube. That's all I was trying to say.
And follow the Frenzy on Instagram. If you want to share about us or tag us, we can repost to thank you.
All right. And also sign up for our weekly email. We will send the episode right to your inbox. We make it as easy as possible for you. We include links to the things we discuss and give you some deeper insights to these topics. So all you got to do is go to the Frenzy, that's friend with a Z-Y, frenzy.com today. Sign up.
And we have an exciting announcement. Melissa and I have decided we're going to give you 2 episodes per week.
Yay!
Starting this week. So we will have our guests join us on Thursday, and then we will have a podcast episode where we do You Don't Know My Life questions, and we talk about what's going on in our lives and really celebrate this stage of life, share our stories, and stop lying about our age, right? We're going to just celebrate our age together on Mondays, and our guests will join us on Thursday. So that new format will start this week, and we're so excited about it.
Yay! Tell your friends. Please tell your friends. The Frenzy, hosted and produced by me, Melissa Carter, and her, Jen Hobby.
Sound editing by Bo Johnson.
Original soundtrack produced by Tammy Hurt for Placement Music, written and recorded by Mark Daniels.
The Frenzy celebrates friendships over 40. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We love you.
All right. Until next week, trust your gut,
share your story,
and stop lying about your age. Woo. Bye. See you later.
Celebrate it. It's a good thing, sister.
Own it.